Welcome to the Misophonia Podcast. This is episode 1. My name is Adil Ahmad and I have misophonia. This week I'm talking to Giselle from Denver. She was, I think, the first person to sign up as soon as I dropped some hints about the podcast on Reddit. Remember, if you want to be a guest, just go to misophoniapodcast.com and click the Be a Guest link to easily grab a time slot. Most slots are booked for the rest of the year, but keep checking back. Before we get started, just a reminder that I'm adding some brown noise to the background of all these interviews, in case you're wondering why this sounds so different from other podcasts. I'd love to get your feedback on that or anything about the show. Just email hello@misophoniapodcast.com or through any social channel. I'm getting stickers with the logo and want to give them away, especially to early listeners. So if you want to email a mailing address, I'll send you some. All right, that's more than enough from me. Here's my conversation with Giselle. So welcome, Giselle. Glad to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess let's start. Tell me a little bit about you. Like, where in the world are you? There's probably listeners from everywhere.
Right now, I live in Denver, Colorado. I've lived here my whole life. So yeah.
So what do you do? Are you like a student, or do you work somewhere in an office, or?
Yeah, I go to school downtown. Yeah,
so I was at the convention last week in Denver, and there was definitely, this is the first time they had two tracks. They actually had a family track, so there was a lot of students, a lot of people who have problems in school. How is it, I guess, at the school you're at?
So now that I have like smaller classes, now that I'm wrapping up my degree, it's a lot better because it's a lot smaller classes. There's not like 200 people or 100 people in a lecture. And it's also like older students too, for the most part. So
that could be good or bad, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, okay. And then, how are you coping with it? Like, what are you, I don't want to get too much into like, triggers, because they can kind of like set some people off. How do you handle it with it? And I see you got AirPods on, so I'm sure having stuff in your ears, as for me, is key.
Yeah, I had never really made the association, but like since my freshman year of school, I've always just have headphones on where I'm walking or like on the bus or anything. Yeah, so that's definitely the moment class is over, headphones go in, and then it's like that whether I'm at the library, on the bus home always. Yeah, so headphones are definitely super important. Can't leave the house without them.
Yeah. Do you only have AirPods, or do you have other form factors
as well? Yeah, I had the Beats, like the actual headphones. Yep. Those were really nice. I just like, yeah, I just snapped the thing, so I don't use them anymore, but they still work. And then I had the Beats wireless before I got the AirPods, and yep. I like those a lot too.
Yeah, I always have Bluetooth, and then I always have wired too, like something that's wired in case I lose batteries.
Exactly. The AirPods is really convenient though, because like the carrier for them charges them, so it's super cool.
So I don't know if you've seen the Pros, but the Pros that are coming out next year have the, so for me, the normal AirPods don't fit in my ear, but I need the in-ear, and these ones have them, so I'm like,
yeah, wow. I did see that. And then like they also are like saying that they are noise canceling too, so I would dress better than these. Yeah,
that'll be interesting to see how they do that with. Yeah, well, I guess if they're in ear, it'll be easier to noise cancel. But I switched to Pixel because I wanted to keep the the small headphone jack. So Google's coming out with something later this year too, so I'm excited about that.
Nice, it's cool to hear that it's like not completely obsolete, the audio jack.
Yep, for now at least.
Definitely.
That's kind of how you're coping with it now. So going back, like how long have you had this?
So like as far as I could remember, because I have two younger brothers. Mm-hmm. They're actually my half brothers. So their stepdad, like, I feel like he was the first person that would really trigger me. Just like eat with his mouth open, and it'd be like really noisy and just like really gross. And then my brothers, like, he modeled that behavior for them, and then they would do the same. So I'd be sitting there, and it'd be like two or three of them, and I'd be like, oh. Yep. My God. And then after, like,
so your mom too at all, or was it mainly your dad?
So my stepdad when eating, yeah, my mom would just kind of like be making like sounds with her teeth, and that kind of bugged me, or like, yeah, but mostly my stepdad and brothers really. So like probably the biggest trigger is like chewing and hearing and eating, like seeing people like chew with their mouth open or hearing it, that's probably the biggest one.
You know, that's interesting. I distinctly remember just a few days ago at the convention, there was like almost 10 of us around some table, and everybody's first triggers was their dad, specifically.
Like, yeah, and he's like my stepdad, so there's even more like turmoil. Interesting. There. Yep. Yeah. He's just like this volatile person all in all. So yeah. And then I had never really, like today I took some survey questions for a study about that. Like someone was asking for people to take a survey in the Misophonia subreddit. So I took it, and then, yeah, I was asking like who triggers you, and I had never really that this person was just an awful person in my life, period. So it's kind of crazy.
So your relationship outside of the Misophonia is not ideal, say, and this is just kind of adds to it, or it's just
I feel like this is where it began, and then it kind of follows me elsewhere. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, like even at work, hearing people eat, like,
yeah,
it's a lot. Yeah. Or tapping and stuff in class too, like people shaking their leg, I can see it and hear it a lot. Right. So I'll sit in the front of the class always, so I don't see it.
You're right. So is another thing that came up that I know is visual triggers accompany misophonia a lot, and I'm hearing more of that. Definitely. Or at least it's being identified, like people are trying to make that connection.
100%. Yeah,
triggers are part and parcel.
Definitely.
Going back to your I'm just curious, when you first kind of like when it first started bothering you, how did you handle it then? Obviously you didn't know what the term misophonia was. I was wondering, were you confused? Was it like, oh, this is definitely the mouth and there's something?
Like,
did you ever feel guilty? Like, I'm, you know, something
guilty, kind of, yes, yeah, for like yelling at my brother and stuff. But then I also had, like, when I was growing up with it, I was like, it's a manner thing, like manners, like an etiquette thing. Like, just please chew with your mouth closed, or like, please don't smack your food. So that's kind of like, I thought it was just like, these people don't have table manners.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then so, did the triggers then in your life kind of expand beyond that then, obviously, then tapping and
Definitely. Even like breathing sometimes, even like in elementary school, like we'd be taking like a standardized exam, right? And then everyone has to be quiet. Someone's breathing, or like just like noises like the body makes, kind of.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know all about that. Yeah. And so I guess you accommodate it, well, at least you cope with it with headphones. Does the school do any kind of accommodations for you? Have you talked to anybody there, or is it just like you're bottling it up for now?
Yeah, kind of more like me just dealing with it. And then also, I would say like maybe less than a year ago, I was officially diagnosed with ADHD. So like that has helped me like get back on track in terms of college. I haven't asked for any accommodations in terms of that, but I feel like I should for like say an exam to be able to take it in complete silence would just help a lot. So I should definitely reach out to the disability section of my institution and check that out.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. So you were diagnosed officially with ADHD. Any official diagnosis for misophonia through, I don't know, audiologist or anybody, or that's just not
quite yet. Just like definitely just self-diagnosed because like the rage all these things. Actually I have not borrowed up with a therapist, so my therapist, I definitely should do that.
Gotcha. And I don't know what your therapist or whoever are doing for your ADHD, I'm just curious, is that getting better, and has working on the ADHD helped your miso at all? Or is it totally separate?
So being medicated has helped me a lot. So we're treating it in that way, and it's helped me a lot. And just like actually being able to focus in class and kind of direct my focus a little bit better. But I feel like it helped not pay attention to the noises my classmates are making, especially if I'm sitting at the front and stuff like that. So that helped. Also just feel like in this one class I have, there's not just many, like people don't eat and stuff in class, so that just like takes away the issue to begin with.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not a therapist, but when we were at the convention, that one of the bartenders was saying a similar thing where she's like, I can hear everything across the room. Everything seems like it's at the same volume. And the, I won't say who, but one of the therapists there said, You know what I tell my patients is to kind of listen to like extremely loud music and just your ears are too sensitive. Just deaden them.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody to do that, but that was just an interesting thing. And she's quite serious about it. So,
I mean, if anything, I feel like I've aided in like my hearing loss. Cause I would like, when I was younger, I'd fall asleep with like headphones on and my like parents would be like, don't do that. Like it's not, but like, yeah, I've always like loud music and stuff, but regardless, still like, the trigger sounds are still a lot and I can still hear them. Yeah. So yeah, but loud music, it's always turned all the way up. Does help a lot on public transportation and stuff.
So obviously it sounds like, you know, your family doesn't seem to like, you know much about it.
Yeah.
Do you have anyone else around who is supported? Like, have you told other people or is it just completely it's just you basically?
Yeah, so I share this information with like my brother, but yeah, not usually most people, just because it doesn't come off like the top of my head to bring it up.
It's not mainstream yet.
Or if they are making this noise, I go out of my way to just put my headphones on or remove myself from the situation or like leave. But yeah, I feel bad like telling people like, hey, please don't eat like this or that. Like I would feel guilty almost. Yeah. Telling them. So that's why I just removed myself from the situation.
So how did you, how did you self-diagnose initially? Did you just read it? Did you Google for it? Or did you come across an article or something?
Yeah, I came across like something that was like, oh, this thing is like a disorder. And I was like, oh my God, there's a name for this thing. Yep. Like I didn't have to like kind of research, like it was like, oh no, there's a name for this thing. And I know I have these triggers and these issues. So
how did that really make you feel? Was it like a relief or was it like emotionally just like, oh my God, this is explained so much and I'm just like, I wish I knew.
Definitely feel like it's a relief. Definitely when I learn these like things or that could explain like disorder that like put everything, make everything make sense. So yeah, so I was like, okay, it's not entirely my fault that I'm being irrational. Like I'm not the only one. I'm not just crazy. So that was nice. But yeah, and then just like, but reading about that, there's not really like much to do other than like control our response to the stimuli. That's kind of like bittersweet. I don't know.
Right. So, and in your readings, like, have you obviously there's headphones, but I don't know. There's one lecture or whatever talk last week about like trying CBD. There's like devices you can put in that are not they're not iPods, but they're like just a white noise kind of things. Have you gone to that length to kind of like research other stuff or?
Sure.
You're just the headphones are enough. I mean, me personally, like headphones are kind of enough for me for now at least. And I can remove myself from the situation too.
But of course,
I'm just curious if you've heard of other mechanisms or tried anything or curious.
Yeah, sure. So actually a few weeks ago, I like came across something or like an article or something talking about like white noise and brown noise and pink noise. And I was like, okay, cool. It was more like to help focus, right? And I was like kind of venturing, like looking up things to help me be more efficient with my study time. So I came across this. Yeah. And then I actually really like it. I really like pink noise and brown noise because they're at a lower frequency. So yeah, I do like those things a lot. I always have my fan on in my room and I didn't realize that that is like a thing that acts as white noise and neutralizes sound. So kind of also made sense. I was like, okay, that's cool. But yeah, I definitely will do that. It helps again, like when I'm in the library or trying to study, really does help block out noises.
Yeah, definitely. This podcast, I'm planning to put brown noise in the background just because I don't know what we're gonna hear, so it's like it might drive me crazy, or you know, I would hate to drive everybody crazy. So I think background noise will sound like we're basically in a rainforest or something, or I might actually use a beach sound or whatever.
That's super awesome.
We'd be the first podcast to have like injected sound. I think would be
really cool. Yeah, I like that. Now we're controlled for a lot of like sound things. Yeah, 100%. Because I definitely
feel
cool
that
when
I listen to it. It'd be cool to like ask the guests like, what would you like in the background? And then everyone is kind of different. It could be death metal. Or it could be just white noise.
Yeah, maybe have themes. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. But, when you listen to a podcast and you can hear all of these things in the back.
Exactly. Cool. So, okay. So there's nobody else. So you don't have any friends or that habit too? Or you have, are there any meetups? So I know I went to the convention last week, but I'm just curious if there are, if you've reached out for any like meetups and stuff. One thing that I've noticed in the last, since the last convention, is there has been kind of a push, and maybe that's one reason why I started the podcast, to have more like in real life kind of like meetups, because people have found that these conversations kind of like, at least when we get together, just kind of helps a lot. I'm just curious if you've looked around in Denver for stuff like that or,
yeah,
or not.
Actually, I do have like a coworker, and we've touched on this topic, and yeah, we both are like, actually, yeah, are very like sensitive to these things. And then it's kind of funny because like when we eat together, it's like both very mindful almost, right? Like we don't want to, I'm conscious of the way I eat, right? Because I would hate for other people to feel like I almost imagine other people here that amplified as I do or react the same way. So it's kind of funny, yeah, how like she also has these feelings. So yeah, how she carries herself around like dining and stuff is interesting.
Yeah,
other than that,
the interesting thing about being at the convention is like the first time that we were all especially mindful, because it's kind of like being in the other person's shoes.
Exactly.
And your other coworker, do you mind if I what kind of work that is?
Like, I'm sure. Me and my friends bake together. So yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah, I'm just curious, like what? Yeah,
edibles.
Gotcha.
Yeah, like edibles with like THC and yeah.
Right. I was curious because you know some like if you're sitting in a cubicle, that can be a terrible thing. But if
Definitely.
You're baking, then
yeah, it's very it's a really
music
relaxed
on
environment. Yeah, we're hanging out, yeah. Kind of doing stuff. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I could just remove myself. If like people start eating, I'll just like leave, go somewhere else, go outside. Put my headphones on if they're not already in. Yep.
Well, that could be part of the therapy too. I mean, I sat into one of those, talk on CBD.
Cool.
I haven't tried that as a therapy yet, but I was quite curious. So that'd be interesting if it kind of like works in with your work, some potential therapies for this.
Yeah, definitely. I use THC regularly, but I've never thought about it, like to use it as therapeutically for this. So yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah,
Google
for that. I'm still kind of researching that stuff too, but yeah, there might be something there. But you know, this is this is a neurological thing ultimately, so we're
100%.
We're still early in the research for that, but hopefully we'll figure things out.
Yeah.
Well, so I know, you know, a lot of people are out there who are used to bottling this up, so they're all going to benefit from hearing this, and we'll be able to
100%. I'm excited to hear about others' experiences.
Well, obviously, I'll be talking about like this, the convention and the one upcoming next year. I think it'd be cool to have, if you can try to make it up to Philly, that would be
definitely, that'd be cool. Yeah.
It's an interesting little group.
Check that out. Like, it would be really cool to learn more, just continue to learn more about this. So yeah, definitely want to check it out.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for being on our episode of this new Misophonia podcast.
Of course. No, thank you for doing this, and thank you for having me.
And that's our first episode. Thank you for listening. And make sure to subscribe to hear more stories of Misophonia. I have people from all over the world coming up on future episodes. I'd love to hear from you. Email hello@misophoniapodcast.com. Follow on Twitter @MisophoniaShow. Or on Facebook and Instagram @MisophoniaPodcast. Theme music is by Moby. Until next week, wishing you peace and quiet.